And a quick check of our forecast just ahead of a community connection. Do have a chance for rain today. National Weather Service putting it about 40% today, 50% chance tonight. And then for tomorrow, they use the words showers likely. So I would say we're going to get some rainfall there. And, of course, with the tropical storm slash possible hurricane coming this direction later on in the week, we'll see how that all shakes out for the weekend. 77 degrees at 1400 K1, and our community connection brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Opportunity for us to focus on the Osher Lifelong Learning Classes, better known as OLLI at OSU, and I get to talk with a couple of the instructors, and certainly a familiar voice from several OLLI classes, and actually a member of the students in some of my classes. Kay Little, I'll start off stuff with that, and you get to teach a subject that every time I talk to you, Kay, you talk about local history or local things that have gone on in the past, and it's just one of those, I am not a history buff, but you make me want to learn more about it.
Awesome. I'm doing my job right.
And the nice thing about OLLI classes is, first of all, they're geared toward the lifelong learner. That's what the Institute is all about. And something I'm trying to remember who said it. It doesn't matter. No homework, no tests, no grades.
Exactly.
Sometimes there's a textbook, but it's always a fun experience.
Yes.
And you get a snack in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way to go to school.
It is. I wish they'd have done that when I was in school. But anyway, you get to now. Help me out here. We have a party coming up a week from, I guess it's this Sunday.
Yes, this Sunday at the Haskell's event space at 115 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard. And anybody is invited to come. It's at, trying to think of what the time is.
It is 4 to 5.
4 to 5.
Yep. Or to make that 4 to 5:30.
4 to 5:30, yes. And there will be plenty of snacks there, and you'll learn all about the different classes. And it's just a fun time to come and learn what's going on with OLLI this semester. So we're calling it the OLLI Fall Festival.
And I get to talk to a couple of the instructors. By the way, if you have signed up for any of the classes in the past, it's likely you got one of the course catalog books.
Yes.
In the mail recently. At least I did.
I did too.
And so we can have some of the here at the station. At least we're not right now, but we'll have them within an hour or two. Marlo Bailey is going to make sure we get some of those.
Yes.
And you can pick them up Sunday afternoon and
right.
Peruse through them, or better yet, talk to the instructor.
Yes, and you can even sign up for your for classes there.
We like that.
Yeah. Yes. But come and learn more about all the different classes, for sure.
And 28 years with Women's Network, you've been busy over the years.
Well, I haven't been necessarily with them, but the Bartlesville Women's Network has been in a part of our community for 28 years. And Betty Kime and I were asked to teach a class about taproots, and it's a 7-book series. And they did oral interviews with different women in the community, and it's just fascinating the talent we have in this community.
When I arrived here in the late 90s, they were marketing those
yes.
books locally, and I remember flipping through them, and at the time, again, having just arrived from out of state, who are these women, why are their stories important, and you get to reading them, and you find out all kinds of great local history,
yes.
and sometimes the route that people took to get to where they are at the time.
True. And, of course, when the Women's Network started, the women were still fighting for, you know, some rights. And but it's just amazing the women in our community and the things that they have done in all different areas. And what's fascinating to me, too, is the ones in the arts community, because mm-hmm. I've been involved with that. And, I mean, we wouldn't have a lot of the arts we have today if it wasn't for some of these women.
Absolutely. And some of the other stories, just because it's in front of me out of the book, I know we're talking about educators, doctors, Bartlesville's first female attorney.
Yes.
Some neat stories, and you find out that these are names frequently that you know but had no idea about all the details about these people.
Right. Yes. And so it'll be fun to learn. I'm still learning because I haven't read every single word out of every single book. But
7 books?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there are only 6 class sessions. Something's going to get left out somewhere.
Right. Betty and I have sat down and tried to figure out, you know, the different people we're going to talk about. We're also going to have a couple of the people that helped start it we're going to have them come the first day and just talk about how all this got started and the history of Taproots and even the history of the Women's Network. And then we're also, during each class, we're going to try to have some of the people that were highlighted in some of these books come and talk to our class.
Well, and just to, you know, the process of taking these oral histories and then trying to condense, I'm going to guess, you know, a half an hour to an hour of interview with some of these people, yeah, to then condense that to sometimes a page, page and a half on somebody. That's a difficult task for any writer. I don't know who did all the tabulation, but that having, yeah, you know, that's a hard story to tell.
It is. And when I was reading through some of them last night, there were quite a few pages about each one. There's about 6 to 8 people highlighted in each book. In fact, I noticed, though, that each book got a little thicker.
Mm-hmm. whether it was photos or just a more in-depth story.
Right.
You know, the first book or two, I think they were, I'm interpolating here, I don't know, didn't talk to them. I'm guessing they had a little bit of trouble getting people to tell their stories and weren't sure how much information to get out there. And as time went on, the storytelling got a little bit better.
That's what I would imagine, too, and that's what we hope to find out in our first class.
So. Well, and of course, you know, some of the other classes that we either have this semester or have had, you know, storytelling certainly has been some of them. We get people like Fran Stallings in town that are, mm-hmm, you know, semi-professional. I'm not sure you should get paid, but semi-professional anyway.
No, yeah.
Storytellers, and it's just fascinating the people that we have in and around our community and the stories that are part of what's going on.
Yes.
Some of the other classes that we, by the way, yours is at the public library on Mondays, right?
No, it's at Arvest, at the Eastside Arvest on Mondays from 1 to 3.
Okay. And we're spending the whole day Monday at Arvest then?
Yes. We usually try to do that, mm-hmm, so that, because so many of the people take both classes, morning and afternoon, that way they don't have to travel back and forth.
But, it certainly works out very well. Just looking at some of the other classes that are going on at Arvest, starting in the morning off, actually, kind of fits right in with what
it
you're
does.
Doing. It is writing the short memoir, part deux, if you want to add a little French to it. This one sounds like it's a really, you know, again, it's a continuation. If you got part of writing a life story class in a previous session, Sydney Brammer, many people know her from Theater Bartlesville,
right,
or other productions that maybe Joe Sears might have been involved with. So it's an opportunity to get to know her. And again, with her arts background, theater and a lot of other things, she brings quite a few different disciplines to the class.
I would think she would, yes.
Let's, again, that's Arvest, 10 to noon. And then, of course, we spend the afternoon with you on Mondays at 1 to 3. And
Jan Dreiling is going to speak on Tuesday, mm-hmm, mornings, and Rita Barnes on Tuesday afternoons.
Actually, Rita, I understand, is has been canceled.
Oh, okay.
Rita has some issues going on. And,
oh,
and
okay.
We couldn't get that one done. But
it all ties in together, and then Barbara's is going to tie in with all of this also.
And you know, I teach an Ollie class in Tulsa on film, and, you know, the Tulsa people love Jan Dreiling's classes,
mm-hmm,
as well. She has taught Ollie classes there, and
yes,
just every one of hers have been a little bit different, taking different parts of the suffrage movement or other significant events,
right,
in women's history. I highly recommend Jan classes.
Exactly. I agree.
Yes. And this one, I think, again, I don't know, Alice Paul, I probably put one sentence maybe on what she did and her significance.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to figuring out how that all fits in there with her. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, anytime you get a class with Jan, it's going to be a lot of fun for,
yes,
you. We're going to take a short break and continue telling you more about Ollie. But again, you are invited to the event coming up Sunday afternoon at the Haskell Event Space, 4 to 5:30. It's free. There will be refreshments, and you get to meet all the people. And we'll invite you to come out and see.
Right. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. We will continue with more on AM 1400 coming up in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012. With a degenerative disc between L4 and L5, Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life, whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement. Trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Well, continuing a community connection on 1400 K1 on an earlier program, and by the way, you can check out the archive on the on-demand section of our website, BartlesvilleRadio.com. We talked about spending the all-day Thursday at the Bartlesville Art Association building, focusing on some of the art classes there, pouring watercolors, gesture drawing, painting the seasons, and a lot more. So, again, the visual arts all day on Thursday. Thursday evening, we'll mention the cinema arts just a little bit. Conspiracy theories, certainly something that has been a subject of film dating back to, I don't know, the 30s at least. Everything from Hitchcock to All the President's Men and everything in between. Alfred Hitchcock did several conspiracy theory films, but one hit when I was doing my three-semester series on Hitch classes. One that we didn't cover was Foreign Correspondent. So a newspaper reporter sent to Europe, to England, just prior to World War II, and uncovers a plot to kill and assassinate a high government official there, and all the ins and outs that only Hitchcock can do. It was his first American film, and so we'll somewhere in there we'll include Foreign Correspondent, but also get to All the President's Men and a few of the other conspiracy theory films. One certainly that is my favorite, 7 Days in May, an opportunity. Another one that the quote. I'm suggesting, Mr. President, there is a military plot to take over the government of the United States next Sunday. Burt Lancaster, Kirk Douglas, Frederick March, Ava Gardner on that one. We'll have a lot of fun. The Manchurian Candidate, we're using the original version, so we'll have fun with that one as well. Just a view inside some of the conspiracy theory films that I'll present on Thursday evening. And spending now a little bit of time with Barbara Schaff, also known as, and I quote it, the blundering DNA genealogist and author of I Am a Leaf Following Branches to Find My Tree. Barbara, thanks for coming in this morning.
It's great to be here.
And when it comes to what you're doing with your class, the title somewhat says it all, but as I understand it, at least kind of picking up on the number of people that are sending some form of DNA, whether it's a cheek swab or other DNA material into organizations like Ancestor.com or 23andMe and some of those, and then you get to follow up with the results and figure out what we did with what we know now, right?
Right, exactly. A lot of people don't understand that we are a living, breathing file cabinet that contains between 400 and 500 of our ancestors. And we can actually, using autosomal DNA, we can go in and identify who those little pieces of DNA belong to, and thus verify paper trails of genealogy, where we've done our actual documentation of genealogy. This is the new verification method, and it has become the most popular gift to give for any holiday in the United States. It took off in 2011, and then it cost right at $1,000 for the test. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you can get it when you find it on sale for as low as $49.
I was talking with some folks last month, I guess it was, because it's now September, about how they did it, and found out all kinds of interesting things. That particular individual thought they were primarily Swedish ancestry, because that was how, when they did their genealogical trace going back, I don't know, several generations. They found the ancestors that came over from Sweden. It's kind of like my grandparents that emigrated from northern Italy. But you find out all kinds of interesting things. You realize that thing that you think is Swedish or that thing that you think is mostly Italian may have some North African or may have a lot of other things, because at least for me, Italy, not that far away from North Africa, just across the Mediterranean, who knows who traveled when, where, and how far back in your background, right?
Right, and a lot of that with the ethnicity can go really, really deep. We're talking 1,000 years ago where they're picking up those minute amounts, but it moves forward. You don't have all the DNA. Some of it gets squeezed out. So if you think you're three-quarters Italian, one of the tests with the testing companies may show half or less, maybe 25%. But this is part of the science that still isn't perfected, that you can actually see your numbers change over time. None of my Native Americans showed up originally, and now a very small amount of my Native American is showing up. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference between the testing companies and the information they had in 2014 when I took my test, and now in 2018.
And there are testing companies, and I don't know if you're going to get into the differences between that, because that's kind of looking at brand A versus brand B versus brand C. But if people want to find specific information, there could be brand B does that particular part of it a whole lot better than brand A.
Yes, and then there's third-party tools that you can use. I'll be teaching in the classes about the different testing companies. I also really stress, because I'm one of these people who lives on a fixed income and I want to be able to budget. So some of the companies have expensive attachments to help you do your genealogy, and they cost $200 or more dollars a year. I look for the free ways to do this, and this is what I teach people how to do, how to take advantage of all the companies, how to take a test at one company and transfer it for free to other companies, and how to, I'm really big on GEDmatch, which is also the company that was used to catch the Golden State Killer, and that was a shock to the genealogy community. I was excited about it. I was totally excited about it because GEDmatch hadn't been heard about very much, and not a whole lot of people, well, there were quite a few people using the tools, but once the story got out, they were afraid they were going to lose a lot of their people who had DNA uploaded there. What they have seen is just the opposite, and it's really starting to grow because the tools there are so fabulous.
People's information on their genealogy varies. Some folks have traced it back for NSDAR membership. Others know two generations back, and that's as far as they know. Who is the major person that's going to benefit from your class?
Anybody that's doing genealogy and have done DNA with it. If you're an adoptee and you're looking for your biological family, I'll be teaching you how to use your DNA and the tools that are online in order to put those pieces together to find out who your biological mother or father are. Mm-hmm. Some people, and it's really amazing because so many people have taken tests now, some people, as soon as they get their test results, they have an immediate family member, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, half siblings often. First cousins, that's not unusual at all. And that's growing amount that, I mean, as soon as their test is uploaded and they're given the results, they're finding these people. Other people, it may take a little bit longer. Some people, depending on the circumstances, if you don't have any close enough matches, it can take, I'm working on some cases I started well over a year ago. I guess our record is about 1 minute. From the time we got the DNA uploaded to GEDmatch. Mm-hmm. It was just right there staring us in the face. So, and I work with everybody to teach them how to do this.
Well, it sounds like a research that nearly anybody can benefit from. Yeah. And if you, like you say, if you find it on sale or if you receive it as a Christmas gift, why not do it? Why not?
Exactly. It's something you can actually leave your children. There's one DNA company that you can actually sign the DNA over to your children after your death. They store the DNA, so there's more expensive tests that can be done. Mm-hmm. And you can have the children then can order their test on their deceased parents' DNA and learn even more about their parents' background.
Wow, that is a wealth of information. Like you said, you can pass it on, and people can continue to do research on your DNA because, you know, they're your son, your daughter, your sister, whatever it might be.
Your grandchild.
There you go. That works, too. I'm not sure. Mine's only 2.5 years old. She's probably not interested yet, but she could be sometime soon.
Oh, yes.
You can find out more about all of the classes. First of all, you can come to the party Sunday afternoon. It's at the Haskell Event Space, 4 to 5:30. You get to meet all of the instructors, or at least those that show up. Sometimes people have conflicts, but we'll try to get as many of you out there as we can. And, of course, you can all simply Google just go Ollie at Oklahoma State University. If you say at OSU, you're likely to get an Ohio version or something like that. So Ollie, O-L-L-I, at Oklahoma State University. Or be willing to sift through the Google if it's simply Ollie at OSU. You 50-50 shot on what you get there. You can register at the first class session, but obviously if you're advanced registered, some extra benefits for you as well, and we'll invite you to come by. And there are some costs involved, but again, I think Ann Cleary would say sign up for all of them. It's, I believe, a $200 fee to pick up everything. So you can check that out again. And dozens of classes, of course, throughout the state, Tulsa, Stillwater, Oklahoma City. Once you're an Ollie member, you can take any and or all of them. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. Students across the state fared poorly on state tests taken this past spring.